Manuel Sayo, and good morning to you all. A very warm welcome. If you're visiting us for the first time, it'd be great to have a chat to you afterwards. The service is being live streamed, so we welcome those who are joining from home or from elsewhere. Please refer to the notices sheet that's sent out by email or in the post each week. And if you still don't get this, please let us know and we can arrange for you to get that. Just to highlight a couple of things from those notices, next Saturday is the KURC Big Day In, Day Out. So there's loads of things planned throughout the day. A draft timetable is available if you haven't already seen it. Come for as much or as little as you want, even if it's just to have a cup of coffee. And it's a great chance for us to reconnect after the pandemic. Volunteers are needed to help with setups and room tidy ups in the absence of Georgie. If you remember, he's had an operation, so he's not available. So if you can help with some of that work, please get in touch with Catherine. Thank you to those who supported the Macmillan Cancer Support Big Coffee Morning on Friday. There was a great crowd here, I understand. Thank you to Sally for organising that. There are a few cakes left, so if you fancy something afterwards or just want to donate to that cause, then please see Sally. News of people. At the 11:30 service this morning, Anne Carrig is becoming a member. So she's been through the preparation, and for a long time we've been trying to find a date, and now is the day, so that's great for her. Please join that service if you can. I've mentioned George already. He's recovering from surgery and needs further treatment, so please continue to pray for him and also for those who are filling in while he's not here. Peter Ashdown, we hear, is unwell, so please pray for him and for his wife Jean. And Naverna's father, Amar, is very unwell and is being looked after by Connie. So please pray for them. And also, of course, remember all those that are known to us as a group or to you individually who are unwell or finding life difficult at the moment. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. The heavens keep telling of the wonders of God. The skies declare what God has done. Each day informs the following day. Each night announces to the next. The heavens keep telling of the wonders of God. We join together to sing, "Now thank we all our God." Seventy-two. Please have a seat. So I would like to make a confession to you all. And you're all going, no, not another one. So this morning I arrived here. I opened my bag. Got here at 9 o'clock always. Opened my bag and discovered I hadn't got my sermon. I hadn't got my prayers. So the consequence of that is I have to get Sugin to drive me home. Pick up, because I walked, pick up all my stuff. So that means, brothers and sisters, that the tech team, who should have been sitting here quietly, getting everything organized, I distracted them. It was me. But God's here, which is something we all forget. Not that God, we forget that God's here, but we focus on the bits and we forget what matters. Let us pray. God of eternity, you are the very heart of our lives, and we adore you. God of miracles, you add flavor to our world. You are the salt that seasons us. You preserve all that is good and make us whole, and we worship you. God of humanity, you look on us with love, and we cannot help but love you back. Forgive us for the times when we have not lived our best life or even recognized what it might be. Forgive us. Forgive us for those times when we have been sulky. Our nose has been put out of joint by what somebody has done or said, and we have been too blinkered to see you in others. Forgive us. Forgive us for those times when we have heard your word and have not given it the time and the patience that it needs to work out what it means for us. Forgive us. And forgive us for the times when we have tried to water down the gospel because we don't like its implications for the way that we live life. Forgive us. Forgive us when we are so gentle with ourselves and so harsh with others. Forgive us. And the Lord says, receive my forgiveness. And the Lord says, follow me. Thanks be to God. Amen. We join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Good morning. Hello, everybody in the building. Hello, everybody at home. I'm going to get my tray of visual aids. Well, my trolley, actually. Oops. I'd love to know how many times I've done this, wheel a trolley, since working here. Right. I'm going to pick on Steve Wenman. I'm going to make you an offer, Steve. You can choose what you would like, right? You can have a box of Lego. You can have some cake, which we'll be selling off after the service, don't forget. You can have some of your own meringues. I'm told they're very nice. You can have a fiver, or you can have some salt. What would you like? The fiver. Kel Surprise. It'll be going to Macmillan Cancer Support, won't it? Jean Thompson, what would you like? She had her eye on the fiver, but it's gone, I'm afraid. No, these are meringues, homemade meringue. You'll have those. Very nice with fruit and cream. Good choice. Let's leave it, you know. The Lego. There you go. So we've got cake or salt. Who shall I go for next? I'm going to go for Teresa James at the back. Would you like cake or salt? Cake. It's strawberry jam and cream Victoria sponge. So I'll have the salt. And actually, if we were living back in Roman times, I've got the most valuable thing. It was used for so many different things. And I discovered that the word salary comes from the old word for salt. Although, frankly, if the church treasurer is listening, I'd prefer the money on a monthly basis, if that's okay. I'm fine for salt. And today, we're learning about salt. And Jesus says, don't lose your saltiness. Find out what makes you salty and do it and be it. And go there and feel it. Because if you lose your saltiness, you lose your value. It's worthless. Being salty is valuable and useful. And we are to be like salt in society. And I promise I will clean the trolley afterwards. Sorry, Catherine.
Have we got pictures? No? Okay. Right, we're going to sing, we'll use the hymn books. No, we're not for the next one. For the next one, we will sing it from my memory. So it is, I am a city on a hill. I am a light in the darkness. Jesus living in me can change the world. I am a city on a hill. I am a light in the darkness. Jesus living in me could change the world. And then, let your light shine, let your light shine, let your light shine. Let it shine, let your light shine. Yes, okay? Sorry, Hutton, this is how we roll in this church. You see that? Straight away, we can come up with another song. No, forget that. We're not having that. I know you... Just don't, and don't play. Don't play, because you'll be playing in some key that I'm not singing in. Up again! I am a city on a hill.
I am a light in the darkness. Jesus living in me can change the world. I am a city on a hill. I am a light in the darkness. Jesus living in me can change the world. Let your light shine, let your light shine, let your light shine. Let it shine, let your light shine, let your light shine, let your light shine. If God is with me, who can be against me? Let your light shine, let your light shine, let your light shine. Let's do that again, but I have to say, congregation in the building, fantastic. People at home, I hope you're joining in. Prepared to send round and check. I am a city on a hill. I am a light in the darkness. Jesus living in me can change the world. I am a city on a hill. I am a light in the darkness. Jesus living in me can change the world. Let your light shine, let your light shine, let your light shine. Let it shine, let your light shine, let your light shine, let your light shine. If God is with me, who can be against me? Let your light shine, let your light shine, let your light shine. Excellent. Have a seat. So Samuel is off to university. Next week, when you're off? Next Monday. Next Sunday. Next, I can't hear you, man, because of your mask. What can I tell you? And so that means that we ask for God's blessing on him, and I'll go around and do that particularly this week. But just before he goes, Derek Windsor has got him at work, and he's going to read to us. The passage from Mark chapter 9, many people would say is a difficult passage. Ideas of heaven and hell, ideas of mutilation. But the action begins with a strange, petty jealousy between the disciples. So let us listen for the word of God. Samuel Kang, Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 50.
Today's reading comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 50. Another exorcist. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of my power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly, I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and their fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Amen.
Amen. So let us pray. Help us, Lord our God, to listen for your word. Help me to preach it. Lord, we pray. Amen. Hooray! Woohoo! Well done. Thank you. Oh. Thank you very much, sweaty people at the back, getting really anxious. Yeah. The context here matters. There's a strange change that we will call the transfiguration, a healing, then a conversation among the disciples about who is the greatest, and not a quiet, slightly sheepish discussion, but they were arguing so loudly that Jesus could hear them. And then Jesus turns things upside down. He takes a child. Now let me say straight away, we're not talking about children as today who know nothing of hunger and whose parents' job is to make the path smooth. We're talking about a child who knew physical hardship, who would have known physical work. A child who was legally the property of their parents. And Jesus uses such a child to turn the world upside down. If you want to be first, you must be last. Welcoming children is shown to be highly important from Jesus' point of view. Reach out to children. It matters, he says. And that means noise and mess and always near chaos, but it is what the Lord requires. Welcoming children, he says, is like welcoming me, and more, the one who sent me. Children, in the time of Jesus, were the bottom of the heap. They were the weakest, the poorest. Literally, if women didn't want to have a child, this particular baby that was born, they would leave it beside the road. They were disposable. So this is about welcoming the others that some would ignore. And in that welcome, Jesus is welcomed. And it is important work. Then the text continues with an exorcism, and we move on to talk about little ones. And it's the only place where Mark, unlike Matthew, Mark uses the expression little ones. Another exorcism. And Mark provides warm words for those who do God's work and are not in the disciples' circle. It stresses genuine, gracious reception of anyone who takes an action, however bold or modest, that genuinely conforms to the character of Jesus. You do not have to be wearing a Jesus sticker to be doing the work of God. And that's an important message to remember in a society where people are inclined to dismiss certain groups as not being like us and therefore questionable. It is possible that they are doing God's work. But put a stumbling block, cause to stumble one of these little ones, and there will be trouble. It's trouble in the sense of tripping somebody up. The passage is related to the child that we should receive in Jesus' name. To cause them to trip invites punishment and worse than being thrown into the sea. And the text goes on about ripping out eyes and cutting off feet. Eyes? Do not look at that. Feet, do not go there, would be my interpretation. But let's be clear, what we are not talking about is some sort of sadomasochistic behavior. We are in the world of metaphor, metaphor. It is designed to make us realize just how radical it needs to be if you are a follower of Jesus. It's a total shift in worldview. It's about who matters, who is successful, and how success is to be judged, and the importance of the little ones. Little ones not merely to be tolerated. It's not about merely not causing them harm. It's that causing harm would be the most dreadful of things. Now, if I was to say to you, paedophilia is wrong, you would cheer and say, yes, of course it is. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. What about children in Kingston going to school without food? What about children in other parts of the world going to school without food? Forget about the fact that some are too poor to go to school. Jesus doesn't believe that children in the UK are more important than children in other countries. Not that British children mean more than others. Our call as people of faith is to look after the weakest and ensure that they flourish, not just some. And what about this message about amputation? Sometimes drastic action is needed. If you have gangrene, then amputation saves your life. But why would Jesus use these harsh pictures? They are stark remarks designed to grab us by the scruff of the neck and face the grim consequences when we abuse others. Each other, anyone else. And in this context, the disciples have just had the debate about who is the greatest. Shock, to say things that are shocking for their own sake, is juvenile behavior for a preacher. So why would Jesus do it? Well, alongside this, there is a concept in Hebrew of sins being associated with particular parts of your body. And we know that in English too. Didn't your heart, wasn't your heart warm? Didn't your heart flip when you saw him, her? The challenge to the disciples is that they do not become people who block the way to Jesus. It's not about being the greatest. It's about how we cope with being seen as being the least. We don't have to be better. We don't have to be more important than another. And for us, it is a very countercultural message to quietly, humbly, is how we are called to serve. But still, by the harsh pictures, metaphors. So let's be clear. Let me state the obvious, the blindingly obvious, which sometimes people forget. When you get to heaven, you will not have physical eyes. You will not have physical feet. They'll be gone. Jesus knew that. And he talks about these strange amputations. Part of the text is about judgment. If I say to you the judgment, the chances are that you hear it as a negative. How do you feel about judgment? Could it be that it's a sign of commitment that I'm actually bothered to speak to you? If I couldn't care less, I would just let it go. I'm ambivalent when I say and do nothing. But if I'm brave enough to say to you, that's not right, then there is a level of commitment between you and me. So judgment in our society is used as this, but it is not necessarily condemnation. It's condemnation of a particular something that actually might be about the fact that we want somebody who is excellent to get better. We need to keep our eyes and to shape ourselves on Jesus. Eyes. What do you see? What do you look at? So somebody gives you a gift. What do you see? Some would see the gift and say, thank you very much. Oh, that's lovely. You've given me those flowers. Isn't that great? Lovely. Flowers look lovely. Thank you very much. And some would see, what do you want from me? Some would see somebody trying to bribe or persuade. When you see, what do you see? For many things, our perspective needs to shift. Particularly at these times when so many people are so burdened and their heads are full of their own worries, and people are just close to the edge. It's not all about you or me. To have a negativity of perception on everything is easy at the moment. So I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because I think it's a good illustration. Coming home from Scotland, 9 hours in the car, 5 of us, 10 stops. Me, Ray, oldest daughter, 2 grandchildren. 9 hours in a car. Not a people carrier, an ordinary car. Are you getting the feeling? Are you getting the vibe? 9 hours in a little metal box, driving along. We just come round the corner into our road in Surbiton, and Sophia, my granddaughter, says, isn't this great? Eating sweets and chatting mints. Eating sweets and chatting mints. Chatting mints means, I will translate it, means just talking nonsense. Just, isn't this great? Eating sweets and chatting mints. And of course she's right. For 9 hours, we had sat together, we'd sung songs, we'd played games, we'd listened to music, we'd danced in the car, we'd had sweets, we'd talked about nothing very much. For 9 hours, never happened. It was about perception. It's about the way we looked at it. For the adults, we just wanted to get this over with, get cracking on. But she drew us back to, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to use the word, the journey, the way that we look at it. What are you seeing with your eyes? How are you looking at it? Is it possible that as a follower of Jesus, there is a different way to look at it? Is it possible that as a follower of Jesus, we are required to look at things in a different way than the way that everybody else round about us looks at it? And the whole horrible ripping out and cutting off language is to say, it's not about a gentle tweak. We're talking about something that is cataclysmically radical. We shift won't help. And that is what we need the Holy Spirit for. Let us be still, and then we will pray. God of eternity, you are at the heart of our lives, and we adore you. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus, to see you in unlikely people. Open our eyes to discern you even in the worst events. Open our eyes to recognize that you are at work even in those who know nothing of you. Help us, Lord, we pray. Amen. We're going to join together to sing the hymn. You'll find it number 349 if we need it. 349, I heard the voice of Jesus say. seat. So we join together to pray. Let us pray. So following the meeting of the UN this week, talking about their response to climate change and vaccines for the poor, we pray that words would turn into actions. That those who hold the vaccines and hold the power would understand that until we are all vaccinated, we will all have to battle with the disease. We pray for those who are worried about their fuel bills as the weather gets colder, those who are anxious about being able to afford to heat their homes and keep them warm, those who are queuing to get fuel. Those who can't get supplies for their businesses. And for those working hard to bring relief to others in need. Those working in food banks, debt advisors, mental health services. And those trying in small ways to have good effects with their neighbours. We pray for all those in hospital and all those who are still fearful of the virus. We remember that thousands are still dying of it. We hold up Afghanistan to you, Lord our God. We know that the news cycle will move on, but we pray for those who are fearful, those who really don't know what the future holds, for those who have newly arrived in the UK. And for all those who have come to this country to find it a place of safe refuge, Lord, for them we pray. But we also pray for Syria, for the people of Haiti, for those living with the devastation of fires in the US. And always we pray for Israel-Palestine. Lord, may we see the outline of your grace even in the darkest of places. Holy God, help us to learn how to live our lives in your service. Help us to live our best life for you. That we would not be stumbling blocks for others, but signposts towards you. Let your peace grow in our lives. Let your Holy Spirit flow through us. And open our eyes, Lord Jesus, to see you this week in the people that we meet. Even if they would not know you. And may we see the pattern of your love in all that we do. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Receive these gifts of money. Receive the lives that we offer, that all would be to your glory. Receive the money that we keep for ourselves and the time that we feel to be ours to dispose of, that all would be to your glory. Lord, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn is Lord of All Hopefulness. We join to sing 5-3-1. Mm-hmm.